Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Special for you.
It's time for Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
This is something special for you.
Here's your host, Ben Criddle.
I think of a little something like this.
Bring it back, come rewind. 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 Bring it back, come rewind.
Welcome in to Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. We're live from the Wasatch Medical Clinic studios. If you're suffering from ED, choose Pulsed Wave Technology to help cure your erectile dysfunction. You can give them a call at 801-901-8000. Once again, that's 801-901-8000. Of course, I'm not Ben Criddle. I am Bryce Larson, usually the producer of the program, but today, filling in for Ben as he is out of town. And we'll get to who is co-hosting with me here in just a little bit. But I want to remind you, you can listen to us on the 960 AM dial, as well as online at ESPN960sports.com, on the TuneIn app or the ESPN 960 app. Make sure you download our iPhone or Android application from the respective app stores, whichever you use. And you can also tell your smart speaker, hey, smart speaker, hey, smartphone, listen to the Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle, or listen to the ESPN 960 app. If you can't catch us live, catch us on the podcast. You can get that on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Make sure to give us a rating, give us a review. Make sure it's a five-star rating, or you can give us some feedback. Tell us what we're doing good. Tell us what we need to work on here at ESPN 960. Of course, you can follow Ben on Twitter at Criddle Benjamin. That's where you're going to find all of the questions of the day or the poll of the day. And you can follow us at ESPN 960 Sports. You can follow myself at Larson Sports on Twitter as well. And in a little bit, we'll give you an opportunity to follow everybody else within the program as well. If you want to call in, you can give us a call at 844-442-0960. That's our call-in hotline if you want to give us some of your takes on some of the topics of the day. But without further ado, let's hit the starting lineup and get you introduced to our co-hosts of the day and everybody else on the program. So without further ado, my co-host today, usually in the hosting chair when Ben's out, but he's taking the co-hosting duties today. It is Darnell Dixon of the Daily Herald. You can sound the trumpet, sound the horn, as Ben likes to say. Darnell, how's it going?
It's going well. Last night I was telling you about Alex Vejar's going to be on the program later.
Yeah.
And he was sitting next to me at the game last night when you were texting him in to invite him on the show. But what was kind of funny was before that, there was a guy who was sitting down below us, and they looked before the game, he looked up and he turned around. He's like, "What are you guys doing up there?" And Alex says, "Well, we're media members." And he goes, "Yeah, I write for the Salt Lake Tribune, and Jeff writes for the Deseret News, and Darnell writes for the," and he couldn't remember the name of where I wrote for. I'm like, "Thanks a lot, Alex. You're disinvited to the show tomorrow." But it's good to be here, Bryce. Good to be here. Good to have you as a host and get that experience and show Ben that you're capable of, even with he's staring over your shoulder, you can still handle the hosting duties.
Yeah, a little intimidating with him right next to us, right over our shoulder, as always. No, but I also host the UVU Coaches Show every Monday right here on ESPN 960, so you can tune in from 1 to 2 p.m., as well as pre-half and post-game for every UVU basketball game right here on the home of the Wolverines, ESPN 960. So let's also, Gavin, on the socials. How's it going, Gav?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to have you here. And then our producer today is Ronald Weaver III. Ron, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just doing well. A lot of good stuff to talk about today on the show.
You know, Ron's like the host of the post-game news conference at BYU basketball. You come walking in, and Ron's just like walking by and saying hello to people and dropping hot takes and looking down the hallway to see if the coaches are coming and making jokes. You're kind of the host of that, Ron.
I don't know about the host, but a lot of my friends, you know, a lot of people in the comms program with me that work, a lot of people that I've seen. I've been able to make a lot of friends, you know, just over the years at BYU and Network. You know, of course, I know Gideon George on the basketball team, you know, through some events around campus, just some other stuff. So I'm just grateful. I love people. I love the energy, and it's always good. And people at least want to talk, Darnell, after BYU wins. When it's kind of a loss, the vibe I've got is, just take a step back.
Yeah. Can't be happy in this room if they lost.
Yeah, every time I've gone to fall camp or spring practices, I always ask Ron where to go because he's been there every time. So
Ron's a vet.
Yep. All right, let's look at the rest of our starting lineup today. We're going to have assistant BYU basketball coach Cahill Fennell on here at 3:30 coming up, talk a little bit about BYU basketball and their win over LMU last night. Then we're also going to have Robbie McCombs on at 4:05. We'll talk a little bit of basketball with him, but we'll also get his thoughts on the Big 12 schedule that came out, as well as some of these recruits that have signed, and then maybe some basketball recruiting news as well. So we'll hit everything with Robbie McCombs from Vanquish the Foe at 4:05. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in Colin Deaver of KTSM9 News. He covers Texas high school football, and he covered L.J. Martin throughout his high school career. So we're going to talk a little bit about L.J. Martin, the four-star running back, three-star/four-star running back that signed with BYU just this past signing day. We'll get his thoughts, his player comps for LJ, and what he thinks he can accomplish at BYU and for the Cougars coming up. And then, of course, at 5:05, we'll welcome in Alex Vejar of the Salt Lake Tribune. We'll talk everything BYU-related with Alex Vejar as well. So that's your starting lineup. How about we get to the nitty-gritty, always brought to you by Bucked Up, buckedup.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to present our dancers with their interpretation of the nitty-gritty.
So anyways, let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
The nitty-gritty always brought to you by Bucked Up, buckedup.com. Head over to buckedup.com to get all of your workout supplements, whether that's creatine, protein. They even have deer antler velvet that you can use to get your gains and make sure your hard work in the gym pays off. So head over to buckedup.com and you'll be able to get everything that you need there. For this nitty-gritty, wanted to kind of go over an announcement that BYU put out today. They kind of put out a save the date, Darnell.
Save the date.
Save the date. On Friday, March 31st, Cougar fans will have the opportunity to get an early glimpse at the 2023 BYU football team and see how well some of their favorite former players will stack up against each other at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. So pretty much they came out and said there's going to be a spring scrimmage following spring practices. That's going to go from 3 to 5 p.m. Then they'll have the alumni game from 5 to 7 p.m. Last year the alumni game was a big hit, I would say.
Yeah, it turned out way better than I thought it would, or probably better than it deserved to, because those things can be a mess.
Right.
I've around a while, as you know, with this white beard. It's not white, it's gray. But there have been times when BYU has had, and it's been the gamut. It's been no spring game at all. It's been a full spring game. It's been a spring, you know, 60 scrimmage, play scrimmage. It's been, and they've had an alumni, like, flag football game before. And it never really registered for me very much. It almost makes me sad a little bit because I remember those guys in their prime, and obviously they're not in their prime anymore. So, but like I said, last year's game turned out way better than it should have. Hail Mary pass at the end caught by Brian Keel for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I think everyone there, as far as the athletes, had a terrific time. And I think the fans enjoyed it a lot as well. So they're going to bring it back, which is fine. We don't know what iteration the spring game, whether scrimmage will be, that 3 o'clock. It could be just a number of plays. It could be a scrimmage with the third and fourth string guys. We just never know.
Right.
And the coaches really try to be careful because you don't want to get somebody injured in spring, a spring scrimmage that you're going to need at the end of this, the beginning and the end of the season. So
yeah.
For us media types, we like to see kind of what they've accomplished in spring and get a look at some of the new guys. And there are plenty of new guys
Definitely.
Coming in from just not just the transfer portal, but new recruits and guys coming back off missions and a lot of different guys. So we like to see that. But I think the alumni games created some momentum here with how well it went last year. Didn't see any serious injuries, which was good. You don't want to see anybody get hurt in those things.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining for sure. And I, if the weather cooperates, then people can come to the stadium and have a good time and promote the product, which is headed for the Big 12. So lots of good things going on.
Yeah, the other thing that they don't like us to know about is the quarterback competitions that happen. So I'm not too sure if we'll see the first or second string quarterbacks out there, but we can hope. We can hope. The other thing we found out this week from Kalani was that spring practices are going to open the 6th of March.
Right.
What's going to be the biggest storylines of spring football, Darnell?
There are so many storylines to follow.
How big of a story is the quarterback competition going to be? Some people have already pretty much given the starting quarterback slot to Keaton Slovis. What are you expecting from the quarterback competition, and how big of a competition do you think that really will be?
Well, it's an interesting quarterback competition because neither one of the guys that are expected to be one or two were with the program last year. That doesn't happen very often at BYU.
Yeah.
Usually you've got at least one guy waiting in the wings. This year, with Jake Retzloff, the JC transfer, and Keaton Slovis, those are really the two guys that everyone expects to be Slovis 1 and Retzloff 2, be the backup. Keaton Slovis will be here for 1 year, and if he gets the starting job and then moves on, and then you've got Jake Retzloff, who will have a year in the program to step in. That's kind of the sequence that everyone expects.
Yeah.
There will be other guys in the competition, but I think that's what most people are going to look at and expect is the two most experienced guys in college football. Now, Jake Retzloff, no Division I experience, but junior college, 2 years as a starter. So those guys, both those guys have a lot of starting experience. The spring football is something they're used to. The fact that Keaton Slovis has been to this is his third school, adapting, I think, to a new system is kind of ingrained into his DNA now. He knows how to do it.
Yeah.
He's been studying. He talked about, when we had him on the program a few weeks ago, he talked about getting out with some of the receivers and throwing and finding out what their strengths and weaknesses are, sitting down with Aaron Roderick and discussing the playbook, the philosophy of the offense. So I think that will be interesting to watch. And at this point, I think we also want everyone gets to get a look at some of the new defensive linemen. They don't go full very much in spring, so we may not know a ton, but when we watch the spring game or the spring scrimmage, sometimes you can tell by who's getting the most reps, who they're looking at. But that changes from day to day, too. With as many new guys as they have, what you'll probably see is you'll have a group of three or four guys rotating through one day. The next day it'll be a different group of three or four guys because they want to get a look at all of them, and there are a lot of new defensive linemen. So as far as storylines, always the quarterback's always the biggest one. They need a kicker, you know, that'll be something that's easy to chart when they go out. And a guy, if he's making his field goals, if he's making his PATs, and so I think that's probably the major part of what people are expecting. And for me, and I've talked about this on the show too, when you've got 50 or more new guys, there's got to be some kind of decision by the coaches how they're going to create the culture they want with so many new guys, because you expect new guys come in, the guys that were there before, they say, you know, you can be a leader, help them acclimate, help them understand what we're trying to do here. There aren't a lot of those guys coming back. There's a few that were leaders last year, but not a ton. So that all has to work itself out. I think in spring is a good time for that to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing that we're kind of looking forward to as well is to see what kind of culture Jay Hill and defensive coaches come and implement into. Is it going to be more of a Broncos militaristic style approach, or is it going to be more of a love and learning, or is it going to be somewhere in the middle? You want it, obviously, you probably want somewhere in the middle. But that's definitely going to be something that we'll be looking at. Of course, in the past couple of seasons, we're kind of talking about this off air, is that like the media has gotten less and less access to spring practices. We get like the last 10 minutes, right?
Right.
And by that time, it's, you know, the fourth, fifth string guys that are rolled out there. So we aren't able to see a ton, but, you are able to see some of those coaching philosophies come through as well. Whether it's, you know, are they screaming at dudes on the sidelines, or is it more of like a love and learning approach that Kalani likes to talk about? You know, we don't want to publicly embarrass people or players during practices or games or call anybody out like that. Or is it more like an accountability approach, right? So a lot of things that we're looking forward to for spring practices. And it's going to be exciting to be able to get a spring game as well. There's been a couple of years, and a lot of BYU fans have kind of hated that they haven't been able to go out and watch an actual spring football game. You covered Nebraska for a while.
Yeah.
What's like, Nebraska fans fill up their stadium for spring football. Yeah, it's like 70,000.
It's pretty
plus.
Crazy. Yeah, they do. And there's other schools that do that. I think Ohio State has a pretty good following. Florida State, some of those schools. At Nebraska, they always have a spring game, and it's always sold out. They always sell tickets. And I feel like there was one year, what was really interesting is everyone came to the stadium for the game, but there was bad weather. And they were worried about a storm coming in. And the storms in the Midwest, in the Nebraska, they can be pretty bad, even in the summer or spring. So they decided to call the game and not play the game. And then there was some talk, well, maybe we can play it on Monday, because it was a Saturday we were supposed to be playing on. But all the players had arranged to go home, you know, because it's the end of the semester and all of that. And the coaches as well, going out on recruiting trips. So they ended up just canceling the game and refunding the money. But you didn't hear, I mean, obviously the players wanted to play, and the fans were disappointed they didn't get to see the game. But you didn't see a big outcry and, oh, they're ripping us off. It's like, hey, we understand. We don't want our players to get hurt. You know, they're very invested in their program out there. And coming down the elevator when they had decided it was not going to go on, I was coming down the elevator with a bunch of fans. And this was in 2014, the year before BYU went to Lincoln to play Nebraska. And I heard these two guys talking in the elevator. And one of them says the other, they're talking about the BYU game. And they said, yeah, you know, the BYU guys, they cheat. The guy says, what are you talking about? And his friend says, well, they send them on missions, and then they go work out on the missions, and they come back, and they're bigger and stronger. And I'm like, okay. So I was the sports editor of the Lincoln Journal Star at the time, so I didn't think it was appropriate for me to stop and tell them, you know, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
But I wanted to so badly, because I'm like, you couldn't be more wrong if you tried.
Yeah.
Like, nobody goes out in the mission field and works at the, there's not a Nautilus mission. You don't go to a Gold's Gym mission.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. And guys lose muscle tone, and your big offensive linemen lose weight, and your fast running backs and quarterbacks, they gain weight because they're getting fed all the time. Anyway, I just thought it was funny. But yeah, the spring game is a huge deal in Lincoln, and every year it has been. And I feel like BYU misses out on an opportunity to really sell the product to their fans with a really big hoopla for spring game. But I know the biggest concern for the coaches has been injuries, and specifically having enough offensive linemen available to have two different teams. That's been an issue. And they just didn't want to put their number one guys at risk without being able to spell them with second, third, and fourth string guys, because they just didn't have enough.
Yep.
So I don't know what we'll see. That spring scrimmage could be anything from a full game to 60 plays with the third string. I don't know, but it'll be something, and it's always great to get football in the spring. Gosh, we've got football in the winter now with the Big 12 schedule release and all of the recruiting and all that happening now. And then at the end of March, we'll get some football as well. It's always good.
Yeah.
I got a take on the culture. I think you're going to see an up and down. It's going to feel like maybe to Cougar Nation at times, like you're going to see a roller coaster because we've been so used to the drop eight scheme, and we've heard from the coaches they're not going to drop eight. They're going to put people on islands, which is going to be good, and it's going to take some time to adjust for BYU fans because you're not used to seeing guys get beat like that. Now, obviously, you had D'Angelo Mandel where no one threw to that side of the field. But it's going to be some adjustment, I think, for the fan base because you're going to see a lot more blitzes. You're going to see a lot of things. But in the Big 12, you need that. We can't just sit back and drop eight and then you see what KJ Jefferson did. I know that's an SEC quarterback, but these Big 12 quarterbacks are very good. These are highly recruited guys still. And Darnell, you've talked about it a lot and I've seen it. As I've been able to cover the last 2 years, BYU football, everybody seems to have their best passing day against BYU. And that drop eight just, it can't go anymore. So it's going to take some adjustment, I think, not just for the players who've been in the system under, Elijah, but also now the players that are coming in now. And it's going to be adjustment even for the fan base, and even maybe for us as media people, because you're going to see them, I think, dial up more pressure. You're going to see corner blitzes. They're going to throw different schemes out there. So I think it's going to feel like it's a lot at first, but it's going to be in the middle. But the scheme is definitely going to be different. And I'm excited to see it because there are times I wish BYU would put more pressure, on the quarterbacks. But we're going to see, just because a cornerback gets beat doesn't mean the player is not bad. It doesn't mean the coaches don't know what they're doing. But it's going to take some adjustment for people to be able to realize that.
Yeah, and I also think that Jay Hill's clarified what he's talked about. He's not going to blitz 80% of the time or anything right. like that. What he's trying to do is make the quarterback uncomfortable, to get him off his rhythm, to have him thinking in the back of his head, is this play really going to work? Do I have to check out of it? Because the problem with the drop eight being used as often as it was is that the quarterbacks were comfortable. It felt like skeleton drill to them. They just drop back, make a read, throw the ball. And if you let a quarterback in college do that, he's going to eat you up. Most quarterbacks at the college level can do that. So what Jay Hill talked about was we have to make the quarterback uncomfortable. We have to get him back there looking over his shoulder a little bit and checking the protections to make sure that he's getting it right, having so much going through his mind that he's not completely comfortable back there. That may mean lots of pressure. It may mean mixing up coverages. It may mean changing up your fronts. It's a lot of different ways that you can do it, not just, hey, let's rush eight guys this time. Yeah. You got to be more diverse than that. I think most people understand that. But I do feel like there are some fans who think, oh, boy, now we've got a coach who's going to blitz all the time. Maybe, maybe not, but it's the goal is to make the quarterback uncomfortable, and that's you do that any way you can.
Yeah, no, I'm excited more with the pre-snap looks.
Yeah.
You got to, switch up the pre-snap looks. You got to be multiple.
Are they coming? Are they not?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Switch it up. And when you switch it up, that's when it confuses the quarterbacks and causes mistakes and whatnot. One thing that I thought was a big issue was what Ben harped on a lot last year was, matching routes after 6 to 7 yards, right? A lot of dudes are just covering grass.
Yeah.
So if you're going to drop eight, you got to match guys. You can't just let them, sit in a zone and that's when they're going to pick you apart.
Yeah. Michael Mayer from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That first half, I'm like, does BYU even know his number?
Well, it also seemed like they took their chances, and I'd have to go back and watch it again, but it seemed a lot of time they were going with single coverage on him, which I don't know that.
That's not smart. You put Mike Harp on a terrible island being, 6 foot,
and it's,
180 pounds, 90, and then Michael Mayer's what? 6'8", 260, he's going to win that matchup all day.
I'd say he's probably the number one tight end coming out of college right now. You could make a argument for Brock Bowers out of Georgia as well, but, man, you can't go one-on-one with that guy at any point. So it seemed like there was some and I think they switched it up in the second half of that Notre Dame game, and
they did make some adjustments,
yeah,
and it helped, for sure. It
would have been nice to come out, doubling him up to begin with. But anyways, that's in the past.
That is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. On the other side, we're going to come back with the question of the day, band of the day, as well as BYU assistant basketball coach Cahill Fennell. You're listening to Cougar Sports right here on ESPN 960. Baby, about to get a little boondock
crazy. Just like the Cougar football team, Ben Criddle was built, not born. And since 2009, he's built himself into the go-to source on the radio and online for all things BYU. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960 and ESPN960Sports.com.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. I'm Bryce Larson, sitting in for Ben Criddle alongside Darnell Dixon. We've got Gavin Lee on the socials, Ronald Weaver behind the glass producing for us. Band of the day is Florida Georgia Line, bringing us back. That's always brought to you by Royal Army Brand, royalarmybrand.com. Get your officially licensed BYU gear at royalarmybrand.com, especially for that Texas game. Make sure you pick up your Taysom Hill hurdling the Texas Defender shirt for that game at UT. That'll be really funny to wear to those games.
By the way, we're hearing dueling sources today on Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know if you were following this or not, but initially someone came out and said, yeah, my sources say the talks have broken off. They're staying in 2025. And then another report came out later in the day. The decision's been made. They're going to leave in 2024. They're just ironing out the details. Two sources saying the exact opposite things.
Right. And, yeah, we have a whole thing. We could talk more about that
in the
insider report.
Yeah, yeah.
But coming off of their 89-61 win over Loyola Marymount last night, our next guest on the program is BYU basketball assistant coach Cahill Fennell. Cahill, thanks for your time. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you, you're coming up on a year here with the program. You're hired, May of last year. What is your first season and first year been like with this program?
It's been interesting, right? It's a completely different experience from something like Louisville or even Portland State. So it's just a different environment, a different kind of a basketball community and program. And coming here has been great. You know, working for Coach Pope has been awesome. And working with some great kids here, obviously, at BYU. We have some really high character, high-level kids that it's really fun to work with on and off the floor. So it's been an awesome experience so far.
Coach, let's talk about last night's game. One of the things that impressed me the most about the performance was how many contributions you got from everybody that took the floor. You had nine guys with 14 or more minutes, so the nine guys in the rotation, and everybody did good things on both ends of the floor. I know coaches don't like to be asked this question, but was it the best performance of the season for this team?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, you're right. I mean, I don't think coaches love to hear that. I think, you know, considering the opponent and the way they've been playing, it's such a high level, winning four games in a row with our backs to the wall a little bit, just kind of struggling this last little stretch here in league. I think we were really proud of the performance of the guys. I think they really pitched up and brought physicality and brought intensity and brought commitment. Obviously, making shots helps as well. So it certainly was a really good performance. I don't know how that ranks as opposed to others, but the guys really played at a high level.
The 7'1" Rick Asenza for LMU was not playing in the game; had a knee injury that kept him out. And you guys did a really good job, I thought, of attacking the middle of the floor where he might be an issue at times. But what was the offensive efficiency that you were able to put on the floor last night? What kind of got into these guys to execute that offensive game plan so well?
Yeah, I think we tweaked the way we were going to attack our ball screens a little bit. You know, their ball screen coverage is a little bit unique with the way they guard. They have a high-level defender in Cam Shelton who can kind of blow up ball screens all by himself. So we tried to tweak some things a little bit as far as how we attack that, and our guys did an awesome job of executing it, so I was really proud of that execution. When you make shots, you can spread the floor a little bit. It does open up the paint a little bit. So when we get on the offensive glass, we can, you know, open up our driving lines in the ball screen situations and get downhill and make plays for our teammates in the paint. It makes the game a little bit easier.
Coach Pope told a story in the post game last night about how he told Jackson Robinson he probably wasn't going to be starting because he was going to mix up the starting lineup. And Jackson got mad at him because he's like, hey, don't worry about it. I just want to play. I just want to win. As a coach, what does it mean to you to have, like you said, high-character guys in your program that are willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to make sure the team runs smoothly and gets the victory?
That's huge. It's huge, man. It makes our job so much easier. Really on and off the floor where you're worried so much less about – coddling guys and protecting their feelings and things like that. And you're just more worried about coaching and coaching to win. And everybody's pulling in the same direction and bought into the same concept. So, you know, Jackson's an awesome example of that. Rudy's an awesome example of that, the way he's been coming off the bench and coming into the game and playing at such a high level. So I think, you know, to a man, we have a really high character group, and they've shown that really throughout the season. And just I think it's starting to show in the way we play as well.
We're talking with BYU assistant basketball coach Cahill Fennell here on ESPN 960. Coach, I wanted to ask you about the future. You guys are preparing to head into the Big 12 next year. What's going to be the philosophy for you guys to put together a team that will be able to compete on such a high level night in and night out?
Yeah, you mentioned that it is such a high level. I mean, the Big 12 is the highest level of college basketball in the country right now. And there's just so many good players and coaches and teams. And, you know, everybody's competing for championships to one degree or another. And we really have to continue to just ramp up our ability to, you know, build this program the right way and build it from the ground up from a talent standpoint and bring in guys that can compete at that level and help us compete for championships ourselves, right? Because that's the goal. You know, we're not entering the conference just to be an all-star or a doormat or anything like that. We're in it to win it. So I think Coach Pope obviously shares the same kind of philosophy and goals. And for us, we really have to target the right guys. And Coach Pope and the staff have done an amazing job before I got here of really kind of scouring the globe looking for high-level players, right? Whether that's Africa, whether that's here in Utah and everything in between. They're going to do what it takes to find the guys that can help us win. So we'll continue to do that. We just have to find guys that can compete with those kind of schools, right? The Kansas of the world, the Baylors of the world, road games like Texas Tech and West Virginia. It's going to be some unbelievable environments, some unbelievable teams, and we have to show up with a team that's ready to compete.
Yeah, and just a follow-up, coming from Louisville, you know, in a P5 conference and whatnot, how much of a step up will it be, especially, you know, on the athletic and athleticism side and just how hard those teams play night in and night out? How much of a culture change is it going to be for some of these guys who aren't used to playing P5 or P6 basketball?
I think it's significant, and I think it's not just for our players, but I think it's for our fan base and everybody that cares about this program. I think this guy has to be a level of expectation of just how different that level is. And you've made the point a couple of times with the night in, night out aspect of it. And that's really the big piece of this thing, right? Because, you know, this program and this team in particular has shown an ability to beat anybody on any given night, right? We beat Creighton on a neutral floor, beat Dayton. We can show up and beat people, but it comes to the point where it's like, okay, can you beat three top 25 teams in a row and two of them are on the road? You know what I'm saying? So that's what the Big 12 is, and that's what it demands. So, you know, putting together a roster that's able to do that with the depth and the talent and the front line that can really compete at that level is paramount, and I think we'll be able to do it.
Coach, I know the assistant coaches kind of rotate through the scout for the next team. You got Pacific coming up on Saturday. Tell us what you know about the Tigers and the kind of preparation you're doing for that game.
Yeah, you know, to your point about rotating scouts amongst assistants, I actually just said LMU. Coach Robinson has Pacific. He's done an awesome job preparing us. Obviously, we performed really well against them the first time around. They're a really talented team that spreads the floor and plays a little bit small, right? With Boone essentially playing at the five and Martindale playing at the four. Those are two guys that are probably under 6'7" when you're really truly measuring them. So, but they can really make shots. They play really fast in transition, and they're going to do their best to stretch your defense. So it's a challenge for anybody, especially somebody like Foose or Tiki, where they have to guard on the perimeter like that, and we're really going to challenge them to guard like a guard, so to speak. So Pacific's done an awesome job this year of kind of regrouping after a little bit of a bumpy start. They're playing really high-level basketball right now.
Well, Foose hit what we thought was a three-pointer last night, but his foot was on the line. Has he earned himself a chance to take another long shot, maybe get a three-pointer on his resume this year?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Our director of analytics, Keegan Brown, man, has been lobbying for Foose and Tiki to get 1-3 a game. And, you know, not only was Foose robbed in that three going to a two, but so was Keegan, man, for all of his campaigning this season. But, you know, actually those guys are really shooting it well in practice, man. They have decent strokes, and Atiki especially has a pretty clean, compact release. With Foose, I never necessarily think it's going in, but he makes a high percentage of them, man. So, yeah, I say let him rip.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate you hopping on with us today and taking some time out of your busy day and spending it with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, that was assistant coach Cahill Fennell. They're coming off of that 89-61 win over Loyola Marymount, looking towards Pacific tomorrow. I believe that one tips off 7 p.m.
Right.
Tomorrow night.
On BYU TV. Pacific beat Pepperdine by 10 or 11 points on Thursday. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well. I think they were only 20, maybe 31% from three or something. But they did cause 16 turnovers and outscored Pepperdine 21-7 points off turnovers. And we know turnovers have been kind of BYU's bane all season. Last night, the Cougars only seven turnovers.
Yeah, season low.
Yeah, season low. So it's a little bit different because LMU is not a team that causes a lot of turnovers, whereas Pacific kind of is. So it'll be a different challenge for them to hold on to the ball against Pacific on Saturday. But like I mentioned to Coach early in this interview, I was super impressed by everybody that got in the game was contributing on both sides of the ball. It didn't matter who was in. They were executing their offense. They were getting their spots on defense. They were at the catch, making sure they were contesting shots, rebounding well. That I mean, I'm not a coach, and I know, like I said, coaches don't like to get that question: is that the best your team has played? But I think from start to finish, that might be the best that they've played. They had a little bit of a spot at the end of the first half where the lead went from 20-10, but then went right back up to 18 before the half.
Yeah.
So they responded to that, and that was impressive in that game.
Yeah, no, you mentioned, you know, seven turnovers. We're used to that in just the first half, right?
Well, they've been averaging about 16, so yeah.
So, and I'm going to ask this to Robbie coming up here at 4:05 as well. He kind of mentioned, like, if they can play with some consistency and hit their stride in this last month of the season, he said that they're going to be dangerous in Las Vegas. Well, if they can protect the basketball and not turn it over, how dangerous are they going to be in the tournament? Because that we saw against Gonzaga in the late minutes against Gonzaga, you're up by 10, right? And it quickly went down to a deficit. And that was due to, you know, just blatantly throwing the ball away. How many times did they throw the ball away in that Gonzaga game?
Yeah. Last 2 minutes, I counted three or four times and just threw it away.
Just completely threw it away. So if they can, like, do you think there's a chance that this team could get hot and go on a run in the tournament and possibly have a chance?
Sure, and what we've heard all year from Coach Pope is this is a team that wants to get better every day, and we're really young, and it's a process. And there isn't any surefire way or secret sauce that allows that process to jump ahead.
Yeah.
It's ongoing. And they're not going to shoot 65% from the field in the first half every game. That's an aberration.
And especially not in the Orleans.
Right, not in the Orleans. But if you can make enough of those shots, take care of the basketball, not turn it over, and you can always bring your defense with you no matter how you're shooting, those factors all play into how well they play in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The sad fact is the Cougars have not won a conference tournament since 2001.
Yeah.
It's insane how long it's been since they've won a conference tournament title. Can they break it this year? Maybe not with this team, but certainly they can be a pest to whoever they're playing and give themselves an opportunity to win. Because we know St. Mary's is at the top. We know Gonzaga is going to be at the top. Those other spots in the semifinals can go to anybody.
Right.
Anybody in the top, you know, underneath those two teams, any one of those teams can get hot and go. We've seen San Diego do it. We've seen other teams do it. And so BYU is capable, but as a young team, man, we just don't know. I mean, they may go out tomorrow night and shoot 30% against Pacific.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be nice if you could do that consistently like they did in the first half against LMU, but it doesn't happen every time.
And my point being is that this is the only year you've really seen Gonzaga is vulnerable. St. Mary's is somewhat vulnerable as well. BYU is one shot away from beating them.
Yeah.
Of course, that was on their home floor.
A neutral
What's
side
the neutral
game,
side's
I still
be?
Give BYU a decent chance against either one of those teams.
Yeah, and we've seen Gonzaga fans really show up for the tournament there, so maybe it's more of a Gonzaga atmosphere. But you never know, right? College basketball, you never know. And maybe BYU, there's still some hope for them there in the WCC tournament coming up here. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk a little bit. Let's talk about stats segment. I'm Bryce Larson filling in for Ben Criddle alongside Darnell Dixon. We'll be right back on the other side. You're listening to Cougar Sports right here on ESPN 960.
Come on.
Let's talk about
stats,
baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. I'm Bryce Larson. Covering for Ben Criddle alongside Darnell Dixon. Ben is on vacation, or so he says, if he actually ever takes vacation.
He told me he was working.
Yeah. He's out of town, whatever he's doing. He's out of town, whatever he's doing, he's doing. We're covering for him here, though, holding down the fort. Gavin Lee's on the socials. Ronald Weaver, the third, producing for us. We've got Let's Talk About Stats here. That's always brought to you by OrthoPros of Utah, orthoprosofutah.com. If you have any athlete within the walls of your home, you can get them braced up here at OrthoPros of Utah. Or if you are like Darnell and you like to play some pickleball every now and then. I know you play volleyball, but do you play pickleball?
I have not played pickleball. My wife has.
You should.
She's been trying to get me to go and play. Courts all over Orem, so we may this spring or summer pick that up a little bit. But
yeah, it's pretty fun. I like to play pickleball, and if you are serious about it, you know there's a lot of Achilles ruptures in pickleball. So Ben always talks about how many people come through here and have to get braced up, make sure that they have ankle braces and the right proper shoes. So if that's you and you need some protection playing pickleball this spring, come through at OrthoPros of Utah right here in American Fork, and they'll get you all figured out there. All right, for this Let's Talk About Stats segment, I'm actually going to throw it over to Gavin here for our stat. Do you have that pulled up? All right. What's our stat of the day, Gavin?
So after Rudy Williams knocked down his first three and 13th point of the night, he picked up 1,900 points in his collegiate career.
That's a lot. 1,900?
Yes.
There was someone that hit 2,000 the other night, last night. I can't remember who it was. Someone, it wasn't, was it Drew? Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of points to be scored. That's very impressive. We were also talking a little bit about Foose Traore as well. He picked up another double-double last night, and he's been very impressive. And he would have had that three, you know, like you said, Darnell. If he, you know, I think they need to let these dudes step out and take some more threes.
According to Coach Fennell, their statistician guy, Keegan Brown, who does analysis.
He's pushing for it.
Is pushing for those guys to get at least one three-point attempt every game. And you could see on that particular play that the defense had sagged way inside the key and just let Foose stand up there at the top of the circle.
Yeah, they're daring him.
They're kind of daring him because statistically speaking, they know that he doesn't shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
So you take that opportunity, and Foose nailed it, although he stepped on the line. He's not used to shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
It was funny. Jeff Call was sitting next to me in the Deseret News, and he's digging through looking for the last time Foose had a three-pointer. And I'm keeping track. I'm keeping a running total on my notepad. And I go, wait a minute. They only gave him two for that. And so I went back and looked on the game log, and it said jump shot. It didn't say three-pointers. I'm like, Jeff, you don't have to look for it anymore.
Shoot. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was a couple seasons ago. We had Colby Lee shooting threes.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Well, and at 6'6", if Foose wants a future in pro basketball, he's going to have to develop
absolutely.
A little bit longer shot. Because.
Yep.
You know, the Adrian Dantleys of the world just don't exist much anymore in professional basketball.
Right.
6'5" or 6'6" that plays inside. And so Foose has to develop his game further away from the basket. I think he has that ability. BYU doesn't call on him much to do that. But if he wants a future in pro basketball, he's going to have to develop the ability to hit at a little bit longer shot.
Yeah.
And he shoots a set shot right now.
Well, not only
fine,
that.
But
yeah, not only that, but BYU as a team needs to be able to stretch the floor a little bit more and kind of play more positionless basketball as they go to the Big 12, because you got a bunch of NBA-ready guys in the Big 12 that you're going to be facing who are more athletic, faster, stronger, And to be able to kind of exploit that, you've really got to be able to stretch the floor. And if you're going to score the basketball, you got to have dudes that can be able to shoot the three.
And if BYU can somehow bring in some recruits that are 6'10", 6'11", that can play inside,
yeah,
that would allow Foos to move to a four, which gives him more opportunities to shoot the ball, not just be the back-to-the-basket player that he has to be for the team right now.
Yeah.
Because really, they've got Atiki Aliatiki. And in some ways, Trayden Christensen's a post player too. He's 6'7", but he doesn't get a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
So right now, Foos has to be that back-to-the-basket, and he's good at it. But, you know, it's at 6'6", he's got to work a lot harder against some of these guys to be able to get his shot off. So he was good last night to start. I think he had like 4 or 5 rebounds in the first 5 minutes, finished with 11 points and 13 boards. They worked, as I mentioned, the middle of the floor well. Dallin Hall got the inside a couple of times to pass the ball for easy baskets. And they just moved the ball so well. Guys were confident taking shots. I mean, Richie Saunders is... I think that the announcers, the TV, or when I watched the replay, they said he was like 3 for 18 from his last 3-point shots. He took the ball coming off a screen, came up top of the key, and just popped it. Just made it. So confidence plays a big role. And I think that they're in a good spot now, but in order to keep it rolling, that's what we don't know, is if they can be more consistent in doing that. We'll find out tomorrow night.
Yeah. And in the last couple of seasons, at least I feel like BYU has struggled to find guys in the post that are kind of – they really haven't had a lot of height. And
yeah,
when they have, they've been injured.
Right.
Right. You had Gavin Baxter, but he couldn't stay healthy.
Well, even Yoldi was a little bit undersized.
Yeah.
They list him at 6'8". He's probably 6'7".
Yeah. And so it's been a while since they've had a legitimate guy underneath at the five spot that could really play.
Yeah.
Eric Mika, you think Nate Austin, but he wasn't
more of a defensive guy,
yeah,
but a back to the basket guy for sure. Yeah,
right. So that's one thing going into the Big 12 I'm interested in seeing as well, is what kind of size they can pull, mm-hmm, and be able to put out on the floor. You had a guy here that went to UVU, Fardaz Amak, that was a legitimate guy at the five spot, but he ended up going to Texas Tech. If he wouldn't have played this season, BYU probably would have seen him next season. I don't know if he has another year of eligibility. I think this is his last.
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't played this year because of the injury.
He's played in a couple of games.
Has he played now?
Yeah.
I know early in the season he was out.
So. Yeah, he had that broken foot, and it's re-aggravated. So maybe he can get a medical red shirt possibly and be back. But, and I don't know. Maybe we'll see if he will be able to get another year of eligibility. Maybe, I don't know. He was in the transfer portal, quote unquote,
right,
for a
and
minute.
Then came back.
Then he went back. So it's kind of been a mess there, but we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to take a quick break. That was the Let's Talk About Stats segment, always brought to you by OrthoPros of Utah, orthoprosofutah.com. On the other side, we are going to have a college basketball segment, as well as talk a little bit of college football, as well as signing day and whatnot, with Robbie McCombs of Vanquish the Foe. You're listening to Cougar Sports right here on ESPN 960.